Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been an interesting summer for Justin Trudeau, with everything from a fractured NAFTA negotiation to old groping allegations, challenges to his carbon tax, and all sorts of uncertainty around the legalization of pot.
The current framework on marijuana is hurting Canadians. Young people have
And it ain't getting any easier this fall as Parliament promises to return as raucous as ever with just a year to go before a federal election. There's no shortage of extremely tough questions facing the government. There's a big stack of files they don't appear to have clear answers on, and a whole bunch of campaign promises either in jeopardy or already discarded. So, in the middle of all that, the Prime Minister is going to put himself on live television tonight for an unscripted hour answering questions from one of Canada's foremost political journalists. Of course he is. So why would Trudeau agree to a conversation with Maclean's Paul Wells right now when he could easily lose control of the narrative? What's he going to have to address with the cameras rolling and nothing off the table? How does a journalist have to prepare to get Trudeau off his script and into the real answers that Canadians want from their leader? We are about to find out tonight. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. If you like a little inside baseball with your politics, and I do, this one is for you. Paul Wells is Maclean's leading political analyst. He's been hosting monthly conversations with political leaders over the past 6 months. And tonight, live on Maclean's.ca and on CPAC, he's landed the big fish. So, Paul, how much negotiation went into getting Justin Trudeau to sit down for a conversation like this?
It helps that the other leaders of the national parties, Jagmeet Singh and Andrew Scheer, have already accepted our invitation and done this.
Right.
And it helps that Trudeau's chief of staff, Katie Telford, was a guest earlier this year. And so we've dealt with the prime minister's office. We've dealt with, you know, national leaders. And the prime minister himself has a certain level of comfort because this won't be the first time I've interviewed him. That being said, it took about 2 months between the request and the final yes.
Does the prime minister himself get involved in any of the discussions of this kind of thing?
No. It was mostly with his communications staff, although I did whisper into the ear of some more senior staff when I was slow getting a response from the communications staff. But, I mean, I'm not going to complain. The guy gets a lot of interview requests, and he's good enough to say yes to this one. And you're right, it is for an hour of his time.
Yeah, so that was my question, too, because I want to know what the difference is between In Conversation with Maclean's featuring Paul Wells and the normal sort of Paul Wells sit-down interview. Is there any trade-off in questions, in negotiations ahead of time, in things you know are going to be off the table or on the table, or just does he know you're going to approach it differently?
None of my guests has ever known what the questions would be in advance. What I say to all of them is, because it's an hour, I'm going to take more time. It's not like an interview on the evening news shows where internally, like on the production staff of those shows, they call a five-minute interview with a politician an accountability interview. And the idea is they're nice enough to come, but they're going to be gone in 5 minutes, and we have to nail them on something and make a headline fast. And so the tone and the approach is very confrontational, and everyone understands that that's what it's going to be like. With this, we call it In Conversation with Maclean's for a reason. I'm going to spend very close to an entire hour, as I've done with previous guests, trying to get to know this person. What makes him tick? You know, what is the source of his thinking on big issues, rather than simply, can he please recite his line on big issues? Because things are getting kind of real in Ottawa, because we're a year away from a national election, because this prime minister has had, by all objective standards, a difficult summer on some difficult issues, I think everyone knows I'm going to ask him hard questions. But, you know, I'm not going to try and pin his ears back any more than I did with his opponents from the Conservative and New Democratic parties. I'm going to try and draw him out. Let him say his piece.
From a strategy standpoint, not from your own strategy, but from Trudeau's point of view, what is to be gained from this? Because I can easily see why Singh and Scheer would agree to it. It's their chance to kind of be elevated to the same level and get a lot of time for people to get to know them. What does Trudeau gain from something like this?
Well, you're right. This is a much easier call for an opposition politician than for a governing politician, for a head of government. End of 2014, as the 2015 election approached, I did long sit-down interviews with two opposition politicians, Tom Mulcair, who was the head of the official opposition, and Justin Trudeau, who was the head of the third-place Liberal Party. We shot video for our website, and we ran extensive excerpts in the magazine to say we're getting into the long prelude to a national election, exactly the same situation as what we're in this fall. And I asked the Prime Minister at the time, Stephen Harper, for an interview under the same circumstances with the same treatment, and I didn't even get an answer. It is way easier for a prime minister not to want to bother. So why does Justin Trudeau want to bother? I think a few things. There's been a lot of speculation that he would prorogue the House of Commons and start again with a new throne speech in the fall, that he would announce that the final period heading into a national election has begun and this government now has these priorities. He's decided not to do that, but I bet the appeal of a throne speech is there, and I bet to some extent they're going to treat this interview as that sort of thing, as a chance for Trudeau to begin to make the case for the last year of this mandate and for his re-election. Secondly, I bet they know that the questions are going to be a little tougher than they sometimes are, and they don't mind that because Trudeau gets, in a way that some of his predecessors haven't, that in a year he's going to be in a campaign where people are going to be slinging mud at him every day. He's going to be in national debates where the other guys aren't going to be gentle. And he actually likes to practice. That's why, you know, when he does these town hall tours from coast to coast, he doesn't mind when he gets asked the hardest questions about ethics violations, allegations of sexual harassment, not having done enough, you know, to help indigenous populations, being too politically correct and making everyone in the country feel guilty. You know, the boxing match metaphor is really tired. I don't like it either. But when he was getting ready to fight Patrick Brazeau, he got in the ring with tough sparring partners and he let them whack him so that he would know what it was going to feel like.
So you mentioned it's kind of been a difficult summer on a few issues. To your mind, as somebody who's been watching him really closely, what are the things you think he wants to address and he wants to kind of set the record straight on heading into the fall?
Well, I expect that he's thinking all the time about what I've started to think of as the grand bargain of his government, which is the assertion, the claim, that you can be both more active on climate change and the environment and more successful in exporting our natural resources. That you can be greener and a better oil exporter than Stephen Harper was. As a matter of fact, that it's being greener that makes you a better oil exporter. Both parts of that bargain are now looking badly frayed.
Yeah.
Court in British Columbia struck down the government's attempts to expand or to twin the Trans Mountain pipeline, and growing numbers of provincial governments, and not only conservative governments, some of the liberal governments in eastern Canada are announcing that they're not going to play ball with the national climate plan that the prime minister hopes to have in place by the new year. NAFTA is a hassle. NAFTA is a risky thing that could go much worse if they have a bad day at the office. But I don't think anything has the unique potential to torpedo this guy's political career as much as that nexus of energy and environment. And I plan to spend a fair bit of time on that.
What about the relationship with the United States? Do you think he can even speak honestly about that in this kind of forum?
I get the impression that he speaks quite honestly, but that he puts sort of guards around it. He was fortunate in his choice of David McNaughton as his ambassador to Washington. Not a well-known figure, but an old, wily political operative who went down to Washington as the new ambassador early in 2016 and came back almost immediately and said to the prime minister and to everyone who's involved with the government, look, this guy Donald Trump might win. And the pleasure that we take from sharing with the world how much we might dislike the guy is nothing compared to the grief we'll take if he wins and wants to take that out on us. So Trudeau, who had already made some pretty snide comments about Donald Trump, suddenly stopped making any attempt to sort of qualify whether what he thought of Trump as a man or as a personality. And that was smart. And as it turned out, Trump really did win. And the early relationship with President Trump was quite good. Now it's turned sour. I don't think Trudeau publicly denies that it's become a more difficult relationship. He's just careful not to badmouth the guy for kicks.
I mean, do you think he kind of sees it as a benefit going into an election year that he can run against that as opposed to just running against Andrew Scheer, who's kind of a regular conservative?
Sometimes people in his entourage give every impression of hoping they get a chance to run against Donald Trump or against people they can compare to Donald Trump. And I'll tell you, the conservatives are very worried about that situation. They're very worried about a thing where Trump picks a fight with Trudeau, or Trudeau goads Trump into a fight in the middle of an election campaign, and suddenly all of Canada kind of gets its back up and says, hey, you can't be like that to our guy, and kind of rallies around the flag. Because in that scenario, it would be very difficult for Andrew Scheer even to get noticed. You know, I guess all I can say is, first of all, it's hard to make Donald Trump do anything. It's actually even hard to goad him. And secondly, to some extent, the prime minister's electoral concerns are not my concern in an interview. I just want to get him on the record about the big issues.
So in terms of the conversation then, You mentioned he loves to practice his answers to the tough questions. How hard is it to get him out of that sort of step, jab, step routine that he's developed?
It is a challenge. He likes to prepare, and preparing leads to pat answers to predicted questions. When his mouth has wound up getting him in trouble, it's almost always been when he was asked a big open-ended question about a subject he wasn't anticipating. At some fundraiser or something a few years ago, he was asked, what country do you admire? And he went off on this ode to China's basic dictatorship that to some extent he's still paying for. That's because they hadn't rehearsed the what country do you admire question before, you know?
So you got a few of those in your bag then?
Yeah, and it's interesting that some of his most thoughtful answers have been in the most controlled circumstances. Like, every prime minister likes to go and be interviewed by an American editor for Bloomberg about the global economy, because that American editor for Bloomberg won't know the local controversies that are causing the prime minister the biggest headaches. But it's sometimes in response to those most open-ended questions, frankly, some of the least threatening questions, that Trudeau in particular likes to open up and really be quite expansive and to share some of his fears and some of the things that he's least confident about.
Do you remember your best question with him or best conversation?
No, but I'll throw you an anecdote because I still think about this sometimes. I should say that I don't know Justin Trudeau well. Almost all of my conversations with him have been on the record and have been reported out. I don't chat with the guy. I certainly knew him less well when he became prime minister than I knew Stephen Harper when Harper became prime minister, because I'd known Harper as a not particularly prominent backbench MP, you know, through the 90s. And we used to just chat. In the 2015 debate that Maclean's hosted with all of the national leaders, we did the first half hour of the debate and, you know, the whole country was watching and it was pretty tense, not only for the leaders, but for the moderator. We took a break at the half hour mark and went to a few minutes of analysis elsewhere in the set. And everyone in the room where I was just sort of twiddling their thumbs. Justin Trudeau comes over to me. He broke away from his advisors and came over to the moderator's desk at that debate. And he leaned over to me and he said, "Remember to breathe." Because plainly I had forgotten that that was an option for the first half hour. And so I did loosen up a little bit for the rest of the debate. And I think by all accounts, the debate went better. I was really struck that a guy who at that point was in third place in the polls, was all of the pressure was on him. It was his first national debate, was thinking about someone else in the room, too. It was a surprising moment.
Well, my next question for you was going to be if you get nervous. And I know you do power and politics panels. I know you've moderated debates and, you know, you do tons of radio hits. But is there something different to having the prime minister sitting across from you for an hour with TV cameras?
You know, it's not so much the prime minister, because this one is my, let's see now, Gretchen, Martin, Harper, Trudeau. This is my fourth prime minister. There'll be another one. You know, I'm starting to be like the furniture here in Ottawa.
Right.
But the hour-long format, I'm usually a wreck after it. I try hard to keep it relaxed. I try hard to keep it funny. But I'm conscious that it's an important moment for every one of the guests that we've had. We get very attentive audiences, and I'm trying to deliver something that's worthwhile for them. And typically, I'm like catatonic for days afterwards. I'm not a TV guy by nature. And this is a difficult thing that we're doing. And I try, while it's happening, not to make it look difficult at all. But then I basically collapse.
Sometimes I'm doing this podcast for 15 minutes, and by the end of it, I'm wondering if there's anything left to ask. So do you put things away that you know he will bite on because you want to sort of break the tension or ease it up? I'm thinking here of, like, I don't know, Star Wars or specialty socks or something like that you know you can kind of lay out there.
I'm planning to open with some light stuff. But I find that on the important subjects, we can expand them or shrink them like an accordion. And I don't have much difficulty filling an hour of time in terms of, you know, finding stuff to talk about. And, you know, interspersing it with lighter moments or humor, that's just a function of listening to the person and actually hearing what they're saying and responding to it the way you would in a conversation with somebody over dinner. You know, in the first couple, I mean, especially because I've got producers at CPAC who are working very hard to make sure that we produce an hour's worth of good TV, we tried to cook, you know, what's the last question going to be so that it can end on an emotional high note and things like that. And I appreciate the instinct of wanting to prepare something like that. But as often as not, as we get into the last 5 minutes of it, we're just off on another tangent, and I find something else to ask about anyway. And this is what any reporter who's been at it for a while does for a living, is ask about something that people are wondering about, actually listen to the answer, ask the next question as a function of what the answer was. this series of conversations is getting a bit of a reputation, I think, around Ottawa, precisely because so many news organizations have psyched themselves out and convinced themselves that there is no audience for that. But certainly every time we've done it, we found there's been a large and really engaged audience. Why wouldn't there be?
When you're in the middle of it, do you notice that phrase that's going to be a headline for the other news outlets who aren't doing this? I know you mentioned it's a conversation. You're not aiming for that, but you must know it when it hits.
A little bit, but I'm actually a lousy judge of that. I do remember after the 2015 debate, of course, all my friends were saying, like, so who do you thought won it? And I said, I'll leave it to you to judge that, because, you know, a very substantial concern of mine was making sure that nobody was still talking when the debate had to be done. So right. I was kind of trying to taper it, you know, at the end and things like that, and trying to bring a sort of a rough equality to the amount of speaking time that everybody had, things like that. That's so much a part of my concern that I leave it to colleagues to pick out the headline. And again, this is a weird format. You know, almost every reporter in town, I get asked much more from reporters than I do from people who aren't reporters. What are you going to get them on? Or what are you going to nail them on? And
yeah,
for Justin Trudeau, as for Jagmeet Singh, as for Jane Philpott, as for Jason Kenney, this isn't a thing about nailing them. This is a thing about letting them talk. And there'll be other situations. I'm just a lousy gotcha journalist. It just doesn't appeal to me enough.
That's probably a recipe for an interesting conversation, though.
Well, I kind of hope so.
Thanks, Paul. We'll be watching tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Maclean's senior writer Paul Wells will be sitting down with Trudeau 7 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, live on Maclean's.ca, on CPAC, on Maclean's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube pages. Who knows what's going to happen? It should be interesting. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Check out our full archives or contact us with a story idea of your own. Hit us up with those story ideas on social, too, at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And of course, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate us, review us, tell your friends. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.